So Barbara Kingsolver's words really leapt off the page for me. For a species, the bloom is just the means to an end. The flower show is really about making seeds, and the object of the game is persistence through hell or high water, both of which are features of the Sonoran Desert. Or how about telling it this way? Everything you celebrate and accomplish is not the whole show. All of your efforts, every light you shine, is really about planting seeds. And the object of what you do is simply to persist through hell or high water, both of which can be features of life as a Unitarian in Thunder Bay. The end, the purpose, the way to persist is to plant seeds. And I have a screen that isn't rolling. Okay, I'm going to try again here. There we go. Okay. Whew, that's a relief. Didn't want to make the rest of that up. This weekend you are celebrating 60 years as the Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. 60 years of persistence through hell and high water. 60 years of joys and sorrows, welcomes and leave-takings, commitments and heartbreaks, accomplishments and setbacks, dreams and disappointments. There's much to celebrate. You have poured blood and sweat and tears and laughter into this community, let alone physical and financial energy, and you are still here. Still here. Still a force of collective power for a compassionate, just, and sustainable world. Still growing in spirit, still changing lives. I know there is also that which worries you, and that despair and hopelessness are often sitting on your doorstep. I know you're concerned with fewer numbers and what to do about filling the pulpit when Reverend Suzanne retires and how to fill leadership positions. I know that accessibility issues make this building less than ideal, if not untenable. I know that the changing landscape of religion in Canada creates anxiety about our precious Unitarian communities, an anxiety deepened by the lack of a crystal ball that could show us how to survive or what survival would even look like. But even knowing all of this, and even though I served you for a short time a dozen years ago, I can't say that I really know you or what you're facing. And so I preface my words by encouraging you to take what resonates, to pay close attention to that which unsettles you, and to set aside what doesn't ring true. This is your community, your congregation, your past, and your future. And what happens next is up to you. So if there's anything I can do for you today, I just want to offer assurance that your efforts are not in vain. And having carefully chosen readings and songs for this occasion, I first want to lift up a few lessons and insights that they contain. And I do this in part to reassure you that it matters that we gather, and it matters how we gather. There's a reason we say the words we say and sing the songs we sing and share in listening to a message. There is meaning in coming together and breathing the same air, and in seeking our collective and individual truths as companions on the journey. As is our custom, we began by lighting a chalice. On one level, lighting a chalice is like putting on a name tag. It makes a claim about who we are. It's part of our identity. But more importantly, it is the light of the long tradition that we share. Like the pillar of fire that led the Israelites to the promised land, it leads us toward a more compassionate, more just, and more sustainable world. So as you celebrate your 60 years, remember why we light a chalice. It tells us who we are. Then we sang a song that uses the title of an oil painting by Paul Gauguin. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? That canvas is Gauguin's largest, depicting numerous symbolic figures that are rolled out across this big landscape, telling the story of birth and life and death, Gauguin thought that in this painting he created something with a philosophical theme similar to that of the gospel, just laying it out there, reminding us of this great mystery and that there are no obvious answers to questions that we all ask: birth, life, and death. As you celebrate your 60 years, keep paying attention to the mystery. Keep humbly asking the questions. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? And that response of reading, "We are Canadian Unitarians and Universalists," is actually the new vision statement of the Canadian Unitarian Council. I assume you've heard it before and maybe even memorized it, right? I find it beautifully crafted to call us to the work that is ours to do, planting seeds that are radically inclusive, theologically alive, deeply connected, actively engaged, and spiritually grounded. I, for one, wish those vision seeds came in guaranteed to thrive seed packets. But they don't. They come in the form of broken hearts and work-roughened hands and fragile dreams and hopeful actions. They come in very human form, the holy scatterings of our life force. And we cannot know if what we plant will fall on rocks, among the weeds, or on fertile ground. We cannot know. And yet we keep planting. We don't know if what we plant will bloom this season or in some distant time. The point is to keep planting the seeds. As you celebrate your 60 years, take time to honor the countless seeds that you have sown, time to mourn the seeds that didn't sprout, time to honor the flowers whose blooms had too short a life, and then also stand in awe at the surprising things that do sprout up. And remember that your purpose is to keep planting seeds so that new life has a chance. The voyage, the story of the being who goes out into the world to find itself, as I said earlier, could be seen as the existential journey of this congregation. You set out on certain paths. You lose your way. You find companions for a time. You seek answers to the most important questions. You think you've found an answer, and then a wind comes up and blows you back to what seems like square one. And yet you've been changed. The voyage changes you and helps you to understand who you are. So as you celebrate your 60 years, don't underestimate how much you know about who you are and who you want to be. Never underestimate your collective power to affect the change that matters to you. And don't be afraid to be changed by what you encounter along the way. And then we entered a time of contemplation. You entered, perhaps thoughtful about your life's voyage, perhaps feeling some regret, perhaps carrying burdens that felt too heavy. Ruth Feldman's poem, Detour, reminded us that we wouldn't be who we are and where we are if we hadn't taken the paths we took, whether by choice or happenstance or force or fortune. And in that contemplative frame of mind, we took time to deeply connect, to listen to one another's joys and sorrows and gratitudes. As you celebrate your 60 years, remember that it's okay to get lost now and then. Remember that maps don't know everything and that life has a way of teaching us things we couldn't have imagined. Remember that life takes us to amazing places we could never have planned to visit, and all things come into being and then pass away in a never-ending stream of birth and life and death. And along the way, we're not alone. We journey in the company of both friends and strangers. You may remember that for me, as for many Unitarians, Mary Oliver is a beloved muse. I chose her poem, "What Can I Say," at the beginning of today's service because it contains the line, "Inside the river there is an unfinishable story, and you are somewhere in it, and it will never end until all ends." Is that comforting for you? I wonder, as you age and as LUF ages, If you might be at a place where you're worrying about death, a time when you're wondering who will pick up the work, when you feel that perhaps all you've done has been in vain. But the truth is that you are somewhere in an unfinishable story. This congregation, like the Canadian Unitarian Council and the Unitarian Universalist Association for that matter, was born in a time of tremendous national regeneration and positivity. It was Confederation time, and the country was feeling new and strong. But that's not where your story started. Liberal religious folks have been planting seeds since the beginning of time. Our spiritual ancestors planted seeds in Nicaea and Geneva and Transylvania and Poland, in England and Holland and the American colonies and in Canada long before LUF came into being. Seeds continue to be planted in the Philippines and Africa and India and Cuba, and you continue to plant seeds here in Thunder Bay, and yet not a one of us knows what will bloom from our efforts after we're gone. And none of us knows when what has been planted will finally find enough ground to sprout and grow. So why do we continue planting seeds? Well, really, what's the alternative? Seeds, after all, contain eternal life. Have you ever purchased one of those wildflower kits? I once bought one in a coffee-sized can, and the whole can was wrapped in this full-color picture of a diverse wildflower field in full bloom. And my vision was that the shoreline at my Wisconsin camp would look exactly like the picture on that can. And so I spread those seeds, thousands of seeds, hopefully and liberally. And as you might already guess, what I thought I'd planted, what eventually grew, bore little resemblance. My vision did not come into being. Instead of a big variety of blooms, only two or three types survived. Instead of an endless carpet of color, the flowers came up in these sort of uneven spurts and starts in unlikely places. Was I unhappy with the results? A little. Did I go out and weed the ones I didn't like and then manage the others into growing the way I envisioned? No, I didn't do that. Was I sorry I'd planted the seeds? Of course not. I had bought and planted those seeds because the idea of them made me happy. I had bought and planted those seeds so that there would be more beauty in my life. I released them to the earth, and then if they were to take root, it was up to them. They had to find fertile soil and the right place to bloom. I offered them a possibility by simply giving them a bit of my vision, which really was all that I had to offer. It is not our work to control the minds and hearts and decisions of those who will come after us. Holding on to our old ways and our beloved totems at all cost actually does come with a huge cost. It's constrictive, and it sucks the life out of new possibilities. So really, what if our purpose is just to plant seeds? What if our purpose is simply to create the most fertile soil possible for new life, and then to release our hold? We're not here to dictate to the next generations how they should worship or where they will gather. We're not here to control the words that will be used to determine the seats on which they will sit. We are here to spread the seeds of love and inclusion and justice. We're here to ensure that fertile soil exists, soil that encourages questioning and seeking and meaning making. We're here to plant our vision and then allow it to grow. And we're here to make space for seeds to germinate, seeds that will find their own life and purpose. Yesterday, some of you gathered with me to explore the work of dismantling racism. I am repeatedly reminded that as a white cisgendered woman, this work means taking myself out of the center. I have to keep reminding myself that moving out of the center doesn't threaten my identity, but rather strengthens my sense of meaning and purpose. Because to survive something greater than myself is what gives me purpose. Did I say to survive? That's not what I meant. But to serve something greater than myself. It's coming up in the next sentence. Anyway, to serve something greater than myself gives me purpose. As in the words of Audre Lorde, which are found in our hymnal, I was not meant to survive. I was not meant to survive. I was meant to spend my life so that what I am goes on as seed, so that there may be new life. And if we do that, if we spread seeds and give them space to grow, I have faith that they will. Although most assuredly they will not grow in exactly the ways we think they should. Kingsolver wrote of ephemeral annuals, which is the name of those desert wildflowers whose seeds wait in the soil, and not just until the next time conditions permit germination, but longer, loading the soil with potential futures. They bloom spectacularly and briefly, only to reappear in later and mysterious ways. We, I believe, are something slightly different. I think we are ephemeral perennials. Yes, our lives are brief. We shine and bloom, but for a limited number of years. But the vision we carry as Unitarians, our passion for a world where our interdependence calls us to love and justice, lives on and on and on perennially. Inside the river, there is an unfinishable and evolving story, and we are somewhere in it, and it will never end until all ends. Each one of us is just one part in an unfinishable story. This congregation, the beloved Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship, is somewhere inside a huge and ongoing and unfinishable story, and it will never end, though it will certainly change and grow in beautiful ways that we cannot now even imagine. As you celebrate your 60 years, may you continue to plant seeds of compassion and inclusion. With your very presence and with your commitment and your vision, you influence the story's unfolding. Because of you, the story is more loving and more just. Remember that. Keep planting those seeds. May it always be so.